I don't know about you, but so far I've enjoyed going through the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Some things that I've just never paid too close attention to from Mark. I kind of always, my favorite was John and Matthew. But going through Mark has been kind of not really an eye-opener, I guess, but kind of amazed me as I've been going through this. And our text today is one of those passages that just stood out to me. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what we need in our present day. And probably we've always needed it. But to me this week, as I was looking more closely at this text, I thought, wow, you know, this is what Jesus would want us to do in our present circumstances. And it has to do with the focus of Jesus' ministry. This passage in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39, it's early in Jesus' ministry. He's already been preaching a little bit. He's in his home territory, and the people there have just been amazed at his ability and his teaching. But this passage reminds us of Jesus' focus throughout his ministry. I mean, we like to focus, and rightfully so, upon the last week of his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the basis of our faith. But for 3+ years, Jesus walked through Galilee, Samaria, Judea, preaching and teaching, as well as healing. And Mark, in his usual way, very concise, says this is the focus of Jesus' ministry. It's how he starts out, and it continues on throughout his ministry. So beginning in verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. In these few verses, Mark says volumes. The first thing that we need to realize about this is something that Jesus did that we should copy, that we should make part of our lives. Very early in the morning, and it doesn't have to be very early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I don't like to get up in the morning while it's still dark out. You know, I like to see a little sunlight so I know it is indeed morning. But at any rate, I do get up that early once in a while. But Jesus always made it his pattern to go off by himself and pray. Every day, Jesus began his day in prayer. There are examples where other times during the day he might go off by himself and pray, or in the evening he'd send his disciples off to do something and he'd go off to pray. But each morning he began his day praying. And as I thought about that, I thought, why should Jesus, the Son of God, start each day praying? And then the question was, to my mind, well, if it was important to Jesus, shouldn't it be important to me too? Shouldn't we, like Jesus, bathe our coming day in prayer, knowing that we've made this connection with our Lord in prayer, our mind set on Him to start our day? And then as we go through our day, we are mindful, more mindful of Him. I think for Jesus it was a way to connect with His Father, to prepare Himself for the coming day. Prayer is important. In fact, the word prayer is mentioned 73 times in the New Testament, and even more with just the word pray. It's important. But as we look at our own lives, we need to ask ourselves, how much do I really pray? And we know from Jesus' models that he's given us about how to pray. We know those models, but so often the temptation is just to pray when we need something. or just to pray when, you know, we're going through a struggle and we don't know what to do. But prayer is communication with God. We know that prayer is, one, praising God, talking to God about our recognition about how great He is and how weak we are and how much we need Him. To recognize each day, Lord, I can't really get through this day successfully as a Christian without starting the day with you. I've got to start the day with you. Otherwise, I'm on my own strength, by my own choice. I know you're with me, but I go through the day doing it my way. But if I start the day with you, Lord, I'm going to be more mindful of doing things your way. And that's what Jesus was always connecting with the Lord about. Because even Jesus said, the words I speak are the words the Father has given me. They had that intimate connection. Now, that was natural, being God. It's harder for us. But that's why we need it even more, to begin each day and to pray throughout the day. The Apostle Paul wrote, pray continually. Now, that doesn't mean we go around 24/7 with our heads bowed and our hands folded, but rather we go around each day in the attitude of prayer. When you think about prayer as communication, you start the day, maybe you got some time off, and it's just you and your spouse or a friend or a loved one, and you spend the day together. You don't walk around and do what you want to do and never talk to the person with you. You communicate. And even if you're on vacation and one goes into one store, one goes into another, you know, you're still mindful that the other is there. And then you meet back together again to go on with whatever you're doing together. Well, likewise with the Lord, He's always with us. So whatever we're going through, we can talk to Him as if He's standing right here. And you know why we can do that? Because as Christians, He's in here, the Holy Spirit. And so we're not alone. And so when we talk to God, and we talk to God through the day, the Spirit's right here listening and participating. So, you know, we don't have to go anywhere except at times to be alone, to focus upon talking with God. Praising Him, being concerned about His kingdom growth. To me, that kingdom growth means, Lord, this world's a mess. May your word get spread. May people respond to your message. May they come to you and see their need for you. The world's not going to correct itself. Doesn't matter who's running for office. They cannot correct the problems of this world. But only coming to Christ can people find the help they need. And can society get better? So, Lord, your kingdom come. And in praying that, we're praying, that means I have to help with that because I'm part of the kingdom. And then I do have needs. I do have concerns. And it's good, Lord, to talk to you about them. Some things I don't know what to do, but you do. There's relationships, like Ed pointed out, where our relationship isn't really good right now. You know, help me deal with that. Help me solve that. You solve that if it's beyond me, Lord. Things of that nature. To talk to God about real life issues that we deal with every day. Pray continually. Bathe your day in prayer. Your activities in prayer. The work of the church in prayer. The church is worldwide. And in many places it is growing like crazy. It is growing in the Philippines. Even with all of the natural disasters they've had and opposition. Drug lords have put a price on some of the preachers' heads, and yet the churches are growing. In Myanmar, where there's civil war, the churches are growing. And usually where there's strife, that's where the kingdom grows the most. We need to be praying for the church worldwide, but we need to be praying for the church right here in our own nation, in our own state, in our own community, right where we are. And in praying for that, we're asking the Lord to use us too, to help. Prayer, that's the first thing Jesus does in His ministry. The second is preach. preach. I find it interesting. It was early in the morning. It was still dark out. Jesus got up and went out someplace to pray by himself, to commune with the Father. Now, it doesn't say this, but it says that Simon and his companions, that's Peter, James, and John, it was, remember, they were at Peter's house. They went looking for him. And then they say, everyone is looking for you. Okay, that wasn't happening that early in the morning. Obviously, these guys got up a little bit later. You know, maybe the sun's up now. And they realize Jesus is not here. Breakfast is on. Peter's mother-in-law has probably got I almost said bacon and eggs, but no, it wouldn't have been that. That's one of the reasons I always thought the Jews were not always totally favored by God, because they couldn't eat bacon. But at any rate, they got up and breakfast was ready. Where's Jesus? And people who had come and hung out at the door yesterday are there back and wondering, where is Jesus? So Peter, James, and John go looking for him. And why not? They were probably concerned. This is still early in Jesus' ministry. They're not used to his habit yet. And so they go looking for him. And they finally find him. And because it says they found him, it didn't say they went right to where he was. They were looking. And they find Jesus. And what do they say? Are you okay? No. They just said, everyone's looking for you. And don't we often say that even with our kids, you know? We don't say, are you okay? We say, what have you been doing? Accusation. And that's kind of the way they go looking for Jesus. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be back here. Jesus' answer is, I'm not going back. He says, rather, I mean, he probably went back for breakfast, but he said, let's go elsewhere. I can't stay here. I need to go to the nearby villages and preach, because that's why I have come. That's the second thing we need to follow in our own lives. The word preaching is used 32 times in the New Testament. 37 times in the New Testament, it's just the word preach. And the word teach is found many more times. The idea is that the preaching of the gospel is primary, following prayer. It's what we do in outreach. It's what we do to share the good news. It's what we do within the church to encourage one another, to help one another to learn and grow, to bolster what we're learning from God's Word. But it's what we do to a lost world, and that is to preach. Where Jesus went, he was preaching to people who had never heard what God wanted them to hear, what we have recorded in the Scriptures. That was his primary daily activity when he was interacting with people. Prayer was first for himself, to get ready, and then preaching. We might say, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. Well, in many ways, we're meant to be. We are meant to be sharing the good news. The word for preacher is one who proclaims the good news. Okay? That's all it means. The preacher is one who proclaims the good news. And that's what we're called to do. When we look in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see at times Jesus, the crowds gather around, and so he's teaching the crowd. He's preaching to a body of people. But other times, he's sitting at a table with other people who've invited him in for a meal, and they're talking and he's teaching. And at times we see in Scriptures where someone has responded and come to Christ. Zacchaeus comes to mind. There are times where he talks to people one-on-one. His purpose was that people could know the truth and be able to live by it. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where Jesus went around and beat people over the head with the Word of God. Rather, people came to him mainly for what he could do for them, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. But he used those opportunities to teach about God, to teach about the kingdom, to teach about how to live, how to forgive, how to love, how to be responsible. Jesus gave parables for people to have to think about things. And the other gospel accounts tell us that the point of all of Jesus' teaching and preaching was repentance. That was his keynote message, repent. So it wasn't just enough for Jesus to say, well, this is my opinion. No, he taught with authority and said, if you're not living this way, you need to repent. And isn't that what our world needs to hear now? The world needs to hear from God's people. The church is not here to tickle people's ears and go along with what they want. But rather, the church is here to carry out the mission of Christ. And that is to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us and to share His message of how to live, how to be responsible, how to love God and love one another, to do all the things that we find in the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These things our world is forgetting in increasing measure. So who's going to turn it around? But every opportunity we get to share, that's what we must do. We all sit around with people and talk about things. And it's interesting that almost everybody that I know, Christian or non-Christian, thinks the world's in a mess. And as they talk about it, there's our opportunity to say, yeah, you know, I know this is what the Lord says about how we ought to be treating each other. It's what it says in Scripture. It's what I believe. And you share. And it doesn't mean you have to twist arms and beat people over the head with that message, but you share the truth of it. And then it's up to them. But you share what you believe, what you know, what you believe, and that you believe it. And sometimes, because the Spirit works through the Word, the Spirit works through us, there will be people who will say, you know what, you make sense. I think I want to know more. And I found that so many times over the years, as people have just asked me questions, and just I try to answer the best I can according to God's Word. And next thing you know, at times, it's led to a home Bible study for people who want to know, well, what does God say? They don't want to know what Steve Dunham says. They want to know what God says. But when they pick up their Bible, it's like, what do I do with this thing? And they just need help to understand how it's put together and what it says and how it applies. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, because the Word of God was written for ordinary people. You hear me there? He didn't write it. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and Peter to write the Scriptures for preachers and theologians. These things were written for the average person, we would say, in the pew, to be able to listen to read, and to wrestle with and understand. And so we do that together. And as Paul said, how can people believe if they've not heard the word? And how can they hear unless someone is sent? Well, we are all sent. We are the body of Christ. We are carrying out the mission of Christ. The church is built upon the preaching of the word of God. And that's why people need to hear it from us. Yes, we can invite people to church. But the church on a Sunday morning is not meant to be specifically evangelistic. It's geared more for encouraging those of us who are Christians and helping us to keep focused and keep growing as Christians. And to give us more tools to work with as we go out into the world. But you know, more people come to Christ and then become part of the kingdom and stick with it when they've come to know Christ through the influence of ordinary, regular Christians. Most of the people I've ever led to Christ, I led to Christ outside the congregation. And then they came and became part. Because it's not about building a church, a little local thing, but it's about building the kingdom. We lead people to Christ, and Christ adds them to His body. So, yes, we can invite people. They can come to Christ here and automatically become a part of us. But you know what? We lead people to Christ during the week, and the Lord adds them, and they become a part of us. Because Jesus always went where the people were. Yes, sometimes they sought him out, but again, they sought him out for what they thought they could get from him. But Jesus was always accessible. When are we most accessible? Well, when we're with other people in the world. And so we need to look for those opportunities where we can say, yeah, you know, the world's in a mess, but you know what? You know, this is, you know, what Jesus has said about it, and I believe he's right. And that can get people thinking, and that's preaching. And that's what we need to do. Now, why is that important? Well, that's the third thing here. I find it fascinating, and it never stood out to me before until this week. It says he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Everywhere else that we see Jesus doing miraculous things, it talks about healing, raising the dead, things of that nature. But here it says simply and solely driving out demons. Now, healing comes along in the next passage, next section. But here he just says specifically, and driving out demons. What Jesus was doing was showing his authority over Satan and over evil. He was saying, I have the power and the right to say what I'm saying, to preach what I'm preaching, and you need to pay attention to it. Because look at the power and authority I have. I will not make you do anything, but look what I can make Satan's forces do. I am supreme. And folks, that's the message Jesus wants us to remember when we leave this building. That Jesus has power over the forces of Satan. And when Jesus says, get out of here, they have to go. They have no choice. For us, when Jesus calls to repentance, we have choice. We can say yes or we can say no to the Lord. Everyone has that right. But the demons already made their choice and they chose against God. And therefore, when God says, get lost, they must obey. They have no power to resist. And so when we're out in this world and we're sharing the truth of God's word in a loving way, but honest way, we are doing so with confidence because we believe in the power of the word that we're sharing. We're not sharing our opinion. I mean, we can share opinions, but when we're talking about what the word of God says, we can share it with confidence because the power and authority of God is behind it. People can express in this world all kinds of philosophies and ideas, and they're backed by nothing. They're just words and ideas that people choose to follow or believe, but they're backed by nothing of any power. Well, people think Satan has great power, and he does. But all God has to say is, be gone, and Satan has to leave. He's that weak before the Almighty God. And so when we share the Word of God, if it's just a little bit or it's a whole bunch, the power of the Spirit is there. The full power of God is there. The authority of God is there. Not in us, but in the words, in the truth that we share. And in that, God can work in the minds and hearts of those who have heard us and begin thinking about it. I've often been amazed at how people will come up to me after a number of years and say, Steve, do you remember... And I never do, because time's gone by. But for them, it's been personal. They remember some discussion that we had, or just some comment. And a few years later, they'll come up to me. They've been part of the church for a while. And they'll say, Steve, do you remember? That got me thinking. And that's why I eventually came to Christ. Because that's where my wrestling with the truth began. And some of those people have become some of my best friends. It's amazing how God works. It's not about us. It's about God and the truth of God wanting to save the people around us, just like He's wanted to save us. He doesn't want us to keep it to ourselves. We live in a sin-filled, cursed world that is hurting so bad. And we have the cure for many people. And all we're called to do is share it. Now, I always look forward to going to my family doctor. Not that he ever does much, but, you know, we sit and we talk. And he always asks, "What did you preach on Sunday?" He's a Christian as well. And you know what? He has never healed me of anything. He's never, when I've had any physical complaint, he's never accomplished anything. But he's told me who to go to if I needed something. He told me where to go get an X-ray. You know, he's told me, you know, take this medication. He tells me, and then it's up to me if I'm going to obey. So far I have. I've been pretty good. But you know, he doesn't save me. Just like you and I don't save anybody, but we better know what we're talking about so we can share with others so that Jesus can cure them of what ails them. And that's the sin in their life. Right now, we're going to sing a song called "I'm Forever Grateful." And think about the words of this, because I was glad Deanna picked this song. "You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me." Folks, in many ways, we are the voice of Jesus. Jesus wanting to speak through us that people can hear Him calling. You know, we shouldn't just sit here and hope people come, but we need to be encouraging people that we know to know Jesus and then bring them. Even if they're just curious but they don't make a commitment, bring them. See what Christian fellowship is like. See what Christian love is like. See that there's a better place in this world than anywhere else on this planet. And that's hanging out in the body of Christ. There's no better place than this on this planet. Praise be to God for that. So let us be people of prayer and people willing to share the good news. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing "I'm Forever Grateful."